Check out our 2015 holiday gift giving guide by going to tfradio.net/2015guide.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 446. It is not the McRib. I'm your host, Brian Kilby, with me, pre-show. With me this week, we have Chris, Matt, Diecast, Don, John DeLuna, and Rob Clay. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Excellent.
I finally come down. I'm evened out after a kind of a sad display during pre-show. Or actually, no, pre-pre-show, and I just lost Chris on video. I love you, Skype. God, I love you, Skype. You're the best thing ever. You know, we couldn't do this show without Skype. I give it crap. But back in the day, it used to be just be me, like, sitting here recording something. Hey, y'all, I'm Brian. I'm here to talk about Transformers, and I've got a recording here from Goldimus Prime, who in the future will be known as XV, and he's going to review a toy for you. So, Chris, tell us about Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia.
And it's a happy day.
It's a happy day. John, tell us about what's going on Alt Toys Transformers again. So, yeah, that's kind of how the show went back in the day. So, I love you, Skype, even though you can be a jerk sometimes. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello.
Just talking about the good old days when we didn't have Skype.
Oh, that was so much better.
Well, we didn't have to talk to each other.
Yeah, well,
it was better except for having to use real media.
Yeah, I should have used MP3.
Yeah.
I got that one wrong. Go ahead.
Oh, need I remind y'all when we tried using Google Plus?
Don, I'm talking 16 years ago. I'm not talking about like 5
no,
years
but
ago.
Don makes a good enough point to,
this
you
is
know,
true.
Google Hangouts on Air is terrible. Uvu is terrible.
So Google Hangouts, most, a lot of podcasts use Google Hangouts on Air, and I think that...
Right, and the problem is it's always terrible.
It's so hard to watch. It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
But like, yeah. Sometimes other podcasts will have, like, notable things being discussed or have guests that I'm interested in hearing from, but they're doing Google Hangouts on Air, and I can't take it.
So when I first started doing this back in 1999, I wasn't really far away from, honest to God, recording myself on audio tape and mailing it to people. That was about where we were technologically. Like, we were just barely on the cusp of, just past the cusp of... being able to transmit audio files over the internet. It was rough. Now I'm complaining because, my fiber internet isn't giving me 100% of the throughput that it's supposed to be getting. We are spoiled fans.
It's quite a leap from your blade of grass 15, 16 years ago.
That was probably 2000, 2001 when a blade of grass kept... On an electric fence, kept me from posting an episode of RFC for like a week.
So, you know, from blade of grass internet to fiber optic gigabit in 15 years, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Potential gigabit.
Well, yeah, I'm not paying for gigabit. It's $300 a month.
No, but you could if you were so inclined.
If
you could
I cared
have,
enough to.
Yeah,
or if a lot of people shopped at Amazon.
Yeah.
Man, I can't even imagine how many people would need to use the Amazon link per month just to balance that cost back
out. Probably a million.
Yeah, let's leave that idea there. So, tfradio.net/Amazon. So now that we've complained about the past, let's talk about the future. Chris, you picked up something this week.
I picked up a few somethings, actually. I got the new Legends from Hasbro Toy Shop. So I got Buzzsaw and... Shockwave, and I also have Chop Shop over there, but I mean, it's just a Scrapnel retool, so it's not like a huge deal to talk about. So Buzzsaw, I was very interested in Buzzsaw because, you know, first Titans Return play pattern toy, and it's not too bad. The bird mode, let me see if I can actually do this while I'm talking. The bird mode is pretty okay. The only, like, major problem is just, like, there's two major problems. I take that back. The wings are big blocks, and you kind of can't overlook that part of it, unfortunately. Just about got that.
Like,
so,
big blocks, and I cannot lie.
I don't know. The problem is I don't like the big blocks. So
I you know, the same thing.
You know, from any forward angle, it does just look like big squares. There's the panels that flip out to kind of fill in the wing shape, but it's still too little, not enough help. The other thing, the official transformation has these blocks up here like this to be like the boosters on the original toy, and it looks awful to me like that. And the stupid thing, too, is it comes packaged with it like this, where it's actually in the shape more of a bird's tail. But then it tells you to move them up like that, where it's just, you know, big blocks hovering vaguely over the back. Those little complaints aside, it's actually pretty nice. The bird head sculpt, which is like the one part of this that does not get involved in any of the other modes, is really nice. And there's like surprising articulation to it too. You can kind of fold the wings back a little bit, so it's not just like sitting outstretched all the time. This just, it gives me a lot of hope for these kind of legends in Titans Return next year, because I think this is their first attempt at it, and this is already pretty good. So I think there's a lot of hope for later ones as they get more of the hang of building in this pattern.
You know, hopefully we'll get to the point where all these legends, just like that back a couple years ago, when we had that run of Scout Class toys where all the Scouts was these awesome, great little figures. Hopefully the legends...
Power Core Combiners?
No, the awesome, you know, like Breacher.
Yeah, Power Core Combiners, the awesome ones.
Yeah, the good things.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm hoping the legends have that same quality level throughout the run then.
So Shockwave, I love Shockwave. Shockwave is great.
Really?
It takes a little bit longer to transform than Buzzsaw, so I'm not going to try to do that as I talk about it. But the robot mode is really solid. The robot feels like a miniaturized Deluxe, which I'll admit is more damning of Deluxes right now than it is praise for Shockwave, but it's intended as praise. It feels more complicated than a Legends toy should. It's the first Combiner Wars toy with clear plastic. It's about half clear plastic, but they designed it well. There's not like major stress points on the clear plastic, so if you're worried about cracks from the more brittle material or anything, I don't think that's really going to be an issue. And of course, if you're still that worried about it, just get the G2 one later, which is almost the same colors, but adds orange, so it's actually better. No, but it's a really good, solid little figure. The gun mode is very, very sturdy and solid, and any figure where you can fit the hand between the peg and the square post, it can use this as a gun, which is great. And the square post on here is really neat, too, because this is sized exactly right for the combiner hands. And when you plug it in, it actually ends up looking like the combiner hand is gripping it. I don't know if this will actually show. It looks like it's actually gripping it on the square part of the peg, so there's like a handle going down into the hand instead of looking like it's just plugged into the hole next to the thumb. So it's actually, they do a nice illusion with that. I kind of like, they actually gave that a little bit of thought, which I like.
So is there a, I'm probably having a brain fart, I've been having them all week. Is there a Legends class figure so far that's being used by Combiner Wars that's not like a chess piece? Is that the first?
Power Glide,
that's right, okay.
Yeah. And Viper, of course.
Viper, yeah, by extension.
Okay. And, you know, Bombshell can kind of be clutched into a gun kind of shape.
Okay.
Like, Bombshell has handles, so obviously they were thinking at some point along the way to have that be some kind of weapon mode for someone or something like that, but I don't think it ever really fully materialized, but yeah. Power Glide and Shockwave are guns, and everybody else is chess pieces, I think. Although Shockwave officially is supposed to be a jetpack for Bruticus.
Okay. Like,
who he also created.
Yeah, the description of Shockwave on the back is Decepticon scientist that created Bruticus or something like that.
That's sad.
Well, that's the perfect place to hide. I mean, if you're going to make a gigantic robot, wouldn't you want to hide on the back so when it's fighting, you're not getting hit?
As opposed to being a chest plate where you're a target?
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Shockwave is in charge of Bruticus and has chosen the best place for himself.
Well, you know, he's logical, so it makes perfect sense.
Well, you know, actually, if you stop and think about it, you know, being on the front is the best, considering how bad everybody shoots in-universe.
That's good, too.
You know, they'll never get hit by laser fire.
Yeah. Okay, anybody get anything else?
I almost got something.
What did you almost get?
I almost got the upscaled KO MP10 Masterpiece Prime. It is shipping from China, and it's been like a very interesting thing because I'm using a Chinese site, Taobao, to try and get this to me. So this is a new experience, and following the tracking information, it would say like someone's mother had a football member, and I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but as long
your mom had a football member.
Yeah, that's some of the translations that we get from Google Translate, I guess.
That is excellent.
It's actually
I'm going to let the secret out. I've actually been working for Google Translate for the last year trying to perfect the your mom joke filter. Diecast was one of the test cases we chose, and it seems to be working pretty well in his case. So I think it's going to actually be rolled out into full release pretty soon.
Yeah. So I saw it's at my local post office as of today, so I'm assuming that it'll be to my house tomorrow, so, and I'll actually be able to review it.
So it's like a real KO, so it was, what, $15?
It's an upscaled MP10, so
$17?
$17. It goes on eBay for about $125.
And
that's with no trailer. No trailer.
So, like I can understand certain knockoffs going for like that, you know, like maybe 20 years later, like that Raiden knockoff that I've got that goes for like ridiculous amounts of money considering it's a knockoff of Raiden. But brand new, $125, that just seems skeezy.
But and does it count as a knockoff if it's upscaled?
Yes, it absolutely does. It's still a knockoff.
Quality.
Do you remember Faith Leader from iGear a few years back, which was the smaller MP1 mold they ran?
Yeah.
That's a knockoff also. Though it's size, changing size is almost a requirement for knockoff status.
Almost. Yeah. Like in the sense of in the general sense of a knockoff, trying to maintain the quality to a sense is like almost required because usually a knockoff is meant to pass for the official thing. This it's not, I don't guess.
Yeah, the only larger KO I've ever seen that I've wanted is that Dark of the Moon Leader Class Megatron. That's like about a foot and a half, almost 2 feet tall.
Even though those are not the best quality, where this is supposed to be like almost like I want to say third party quality. And there's also an Evasion Mode Optimus Prime that's going to be about the same height that's coming out within the next month or two that I ordered.
That's
now,
interesting.
Maybe it's less structural clear plastic and it could be better than the original one.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, not just that, but more room to move parts around would probably be nice.
Yeah, they redesigned it. They redesigned some of the transformation on it. So
what if someone KOs the DX9 Genrai set for the KO Evasion Mode Optimus Prime? You would have a 2 foot tall Genrai.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which would be kind of awesome.
So if you're interested in that, I'm going to try and get the review up tomorrow night. So by the time you're listening to this, it should hopefully be up. So unless you're watching us live.
Yeah, I'm not giving it crap exactly, because I think it's really interesting. But just from a general perspective, I would say that it's like almost the definitive KO, which is kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have a KO, that's...
Go all the way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Tolex watch or a Gaucci bag or a couch bag or something like that. Yeah. So
the official name for it is MPP10. I don't know what the extra P is for, but...
It's for... I don't know.
Perfection.
Okay, so...
Matt, I'm going to assume you're on the same page as me with that one.
So, for me, what I got is I got a new 4K monitor, so I am, like, trying to... I have to move my head from side to side to see everything that's going on right now. Maybe not my best idea. Yeah.
Well, why not swap that out with your television, and then you can have a 4K television in the living room?
It's smaller than my television.
Mm.
So.
But it has more pixels.
But from 10 feet away, it doesn't matter. But when I'm like...
This is true.
When I'm 18 inches away from it, which is how far away I am from this, it's like, wow.
You should play Pixels on it, and then you'll never want to look at it again.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say more Pixels means more Adam Sandberg, and that, no one ever wants that. Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's Don's right. Nobody wants that.
Now, what you do is play Beast Wars on that, you know, full upscaled to the resolution of the TV.
So I am going to get...
see every polygon.
Yeah, I am going to get an upscaling DVD, an upscaling Blu-ray player. Even though the TV, the monitor, its TV will upscale, the Blu-ray player will do better. And I'll probably end up watching this Blu-ray copy of Transformers the Movie that I got on eBay.
So it would be like KO 4K.
Yes, that's exactly right.
4KO.
4KO. Yeah, I guess I'll open this and watch it. Sorry, Triplet. You'll get something else for Christmas.
Probably something better.
Yeah, I wasn't certain if I was getting this for Triplet or for myself. He's already got a copy of this. He doesn't need it. Okay, so speaking of gifts, later on in the show, at some point, we'll figure out a time for it. We'll squeeze in a 2015 holiday gift-giving guide. I don't remember if we did this last year. I'm really inconsistent about what I carry forward each year. So I try to do this every year. God, we were doing this years and years ago too, like back in the 90s. So Don just called out the fact that I said carry, as in DX9 carry, which is on his list for this year. But yeah, so we'll have a gift giving guide later on in the show where we'll talk about stuff that you should be buying for yourself, or if you are listening and want to know what to get somebody else. Sadly, there's nothing for kids. No kids Transformers on it because actually, I had a conversation again.
Because we're all in our 30s.
We are buying toys.
Or 40s.
I am all about toys. I don't care if the toy is, you know, like a Masterpiece scale toy. Like, I love Legend scale toys. But like going back to a conversation I was having with my friend Dusty, he was talking about trying to pick out something for kids. I'm like, I'm not really crazy about any of the Transformers for kids right now. I mean, Rescue Bots is great and all, but I don't. That's
definitely a preschool.
It's a, yeah. So, and like all these toys that are in place for like younger kids that are like at different price points, I think kids like Generations toys. I think kids like deluxe class toys. I don't really think that there are. I don't really know that the play pattern needs to diverge from the stuff for us and the stuff for kids.
So what you're saying is R.I.D. is unnecessary.
Well, yes.
Well, okay.
I don't want to say that, but I kind of.
No, R.I.D. I don't think R.I.D. is unnecessary. It's just I don't think it's being handled quite correctly. Is the problem?
Warrior class is unnecessary.
Well, I've got a warrior class on my list, but I think it would be better for kids if
Nico's
it was.
Nico's kiss is on Don's list. Sorry, Don.
But I think it would be a better thing for kids if it was a lower price point, because at the price point it is now, you can get Combiner War toys, which is a bit better, but it's not. It's kind of skewing a little out of the age group versus RID. Not bad, just a little bit. But, you know, if they were around $10 or $12, they may be better younger kids' gifts.
I'm sorry, Don. I didn't mean that.
Yes, you did, but that's okay.
Well, and that's what we were talking about last week, too, with the Minicon battle packs. I think those are better for kids because you get a lot of product in the package for the same price as a Warrior class toy. There's more value in it for the price being a little bit higher than it should be to start with.
I've bought RID Warrior class toys at 10 and was very happy with them at $10. But 15 though, and some places 18 and 19.
Yeah.
No.
Here's the thing about Robots in Disguise. It is necessary to have a Robots in Disguise in terms of there needs to be media that kids can watch on TV and get introduced to the brand at the right point. And then there needs to be product that supports that. Generations is not necessarily appropriate to be that mechanism. So there does need to be a Robots in Disguise or equivalent line running alongside. It's just a matter of executing the toy line the right way, making sure the show is accessible in terms of being on at some point where someone can watch it.
Exactly right.
Well, Chris, you and I know more about this than anybody else probably on here. Do you think if they followed the Brave setup, a new show each year, that being someone's first robot show? That's what Brave did in the mid to late 90s was every year was a brand new show. It was all self-contained. You had toys for that year, and then you moved on to the next lineup. Do you think that would work in today's market?
Do you think that would work at all in the United States? That's a very Japanese model.
I think that would not be the worst thing to do, but there would need to be an approach change in how the toy line's handled where, you know, Robots in Disguise has been good about introducing new characters into Transformers and not just relying on the standard fallbacks. You know, if you had just like an Optimus carryover for each time, or even just Cyclone Optimus once every one or two lines, so there's not one back to back every year, but the majority of it is new characters, new designs. So even the kids who follow through to the next year and watch the next series would still have a reason to stay with it and collect the toy line because it's not just reruns of what they already got last year.
So instead of every year, maybe like every 2 years, you would have a different show like every 2 years. And then
I think you could have a new show every year or so, maybe like an 18-month cycle. But like Optimus Prime isn't the leader of every single series.
No!
You'd have an Optimus year, you'd have a Rodimus year, you'd have an Optimus year, you'd have Starsaber.
Magnus.
Yeah, no. Magnus, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you would vary it up, but you would keep an Optimus Prime and probably a Bumblebee in the rotation, so they do keep coming up, so that stays an active thing enough where everybody coming in has an opportunity probably to get an Optimus Prime somewhere through the process.
Not to get too off topic, but while we're speaking of watching Hasbro properties, I got a Roku for Black Friday on sale for like $25. And the Hasbro channel on the Roku is awesome if you're a Transformers fan. Like, I would definitely go out and buy a Roku for $25 if you're a Transformers fan.
What are they showing?
They have all the seasons animated on there, I believe. All the G1 stuff. All the I think there was limited Beast Wars stuff. I only opened it one time and I ended up watching one of the animated shows. But they have a lot of free content on there.
It's ad supported or is it?
It's ad supported.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that in the news months and months ago. But
right.
I have like three Rokus and I haven't actually installed it.
You have to install it. And that's one of the reasons. Like, I've been waiting for a cheap Roku to pick up, and Black Friday just happened to be that time when I could get one for $25.
Which one did you get?
I got the SE.
Is it the Roku 3 or is it the Roku 2?
It's not the 2, it's just SE. Normal price is $50 for it.
Probably Roku 1. I really want a Roku 4, but neither here nor there.
But I if you're a Transformers fan, definitely think about picking up a Roku. It's worth it.
Very cool. I love mine. I really do. It's the best thing ever. Okay, so moving along to This Week in History.
Look, we don't have a lot of news items, so we're going to probably be padding a lot of this out with just, you know,
but
talking about stuff.
We don't have a lot of news items, but we have the news item.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're going to be padding this out with actual conversation about the stuff this week.
So, in This Week in History, 1992, the Headmaster's episode Scorponok's Weakness airs in Malaysia. So, upon reading this for the first time, I didn't catch the important part of this. Notice that I said airs in Malaysia. That means the dub. The beautiful, beautiful, beautiful dub. So in 1992, which would have been, what, 5 years, 4 years after it originally aired in Japan? 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Almost 5 years to the day, almost. So it takes time. I mean, there's a lot of quality that went into those dubs. I mean, where else are they going to find the talent, all the talent, all two people that it took to dub that show?
John's doing an impression of the dub. Don's doing an impression of the dub right now.
Yeah, so this was... Go ahead.
Every copy of the dub can be burned in the fiery pits of hell for a while.
I love the dub. In fact,
I hate the dub almost as much as Beast Machines.
I might actually just confer. I might just actually make RFC a fan dub podcast or RFC dub appreciation podcast.
Well, you know, one day he's going to surprise us all, and he's going to like make our voices sound like the dub through mixing or editing or whatever.
That would be that.
That would be great.
So our podcast sounds like the dub.
Oh, that's the April Fool's podcast for this coming year. Yeah,
that works.
Yeah. Okay.
Not helping, Rob. Not helping.
But yeah. So.
Oh, he's so helping.
Yes. such a fantastic series.
Anyway, Don, here's the thing. I enjoy Headmaster's subtitled original dialogue. Well, I mean, I can take or leave Japanese dialogue. I'm not that kind of fan. I mean, I enjoy Headmaster's in its original form for being Headmaster's. I also enjoy the dub a lot just because it is fun to watch on its own basis. It is unintentional comedy.
Yeah, it's the best.
I'm not saying the dub should replace the original form of Headmaster by any means, but
something about the dub just irks me. It just drives me crazy.
It doesn't have it doesn't garner the appreciation and respect that you probably think those series deserve.
Well, Headmasters is to me is the weakest of the four series. I'm counting Zone on that. You know, I'm just glad they didn't do a Master Force version of the dub.
They did do a Master Force dub.
They did.
There absolutely is a Master Force dub. Minerva was called Nightbeat.
Yeah. You've never watched that?
I probably had a self-preservation, but no.
Don, have you not paid attention to us referencing, my name is Optimus Prime, I'm Japanese?
Yes.
I didn't realize that's what that, I thought that was from something else.
Genrai is called Optimus Prime in all forms, in his human form, in his powered form, in his power suit form, in his
God Genrai.
And even I'm pretty sure the God Genrai mode is still called just Optimus Prime.
Oh, that's so bad.
It's the best. It's the best.
I've got to see that.
Okay, and in This Week in History, 1933... Jose Delbo was born. Jose Delbo is, was he the most, did he do more issues than anybody else in
it
the
US? It feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't give Jose Delbo his due because his art wasn't that great, but he's certainly better than Manny Galen.
I like Delbo's run in the comic.
Yeah, me too. A lot of people give him crap, but better than Manny Galen.
Yeah, and if I could get to the wiki, I would be glad to read up on this. But I'm still blocked.
Did you not? That's hilarious, one Don. But did you not read the comic?
Yeah, I did. No, I'm saying I can't remember what issues his run was.
Oh, I don't remember that actual issue.
Yeah, I can't. But see, the thing with it is, I cannot. I'm still apparently I've got an ISP ban, and I cannot get to the wiki from my desktop.
Use a proxy.
ProXPN is free, and it's fantastic. I wouldn't know, though. I don't. Never mind. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. Show notes for this episode, of course, can be found at tfradio.net/446. And actually now at tfradio.com/446.
Don.
Yes.
Do you remember Rhythms of Darkness?
Yes, that was...
That was a Delbo issue.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. So, I didn't know what to think about this when we first saw it with Speedlines, but since we have now seen it in its complete form, it's, oh my god, glorious.
It is.
Unite Warriors, Grand Galvatron.
Yeah, this is, I think this basically qualifies for the dictionary definition of out of the blue.
Yeah, it's funny, Don. Cyclonus is blue.
Oh, I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Yeah. This is the email I sent everyone on the show was, this will be the first Unite Warriors set I will pick up because it's awesome and we're not going to get it in the States.
It's crazy. And that's the thing I like about it. It's the fact that...
that's the best part.
Yeah. So... also, the tech specs were translated. So the basic gist of this is these are minions of Unicron that are there to torment Galvatron. Is that basically?
To resurrect Galvatron after he was destroyed is the way I understood
it. Okay.
Yeah, so, like, it's a collection of dead or lost sparks from the multiverse with the intent to eventually remake Galvatron.
He is so beautiful.
Some way, through some, you know, Japanese Transformers magic.
Yes.
I'm actually adding it to my pre-order list right now.
Isn't it great?
I don't know why, but I just love that Ghost Starscream. I'm not sure why. I just like the way he looks.
I don't hate it. I thought I would hate it, but I don't.
I'm afraid the Ghost Starscream.
I love the Ghost Starscream.
That thing gonna break.
No. It's a Combiner Wars toy. It's not like there's that many parts that move on it. And probably the connector part is probably not clear plastic.
The Combiner connector is a nylon piece. They can't make that out of clear plastic.
Yeah.
But like, if you think about those Aerialbot molds and the force you have to apply to the legs to get them apart when you're transforming them.
Oh, yeah.
That part's made out of clear plastic.
That's a problem.
So I didn't realize that the Seeker head was on the sprue.
We've seen line art of that in the designer desk portions of, like, the on the back of the comic books that come with the figures. This is the first time we've actually had verification that it actually exists as a molding element.
It doesn't look like Starscream, but I don't mind that so much.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a genericized Seeker head.
So tell us about the, because I don't have it up, and I don't, Roller is one of the characters, Starscream, Armada, wasn't
Thrust.
Thrust.
Yeah.
Thrust.
And who was the
Thrust
other?
Thrust has a new head,
Breakdown.
Too.
Zombie War Breakdown.
Yeah.
So what's the background of these characters?
Okay, so Starscream is Ghost Starscream, seemingly from, like, the G1 Beast Wars blended continuity. Because, like, there's, you could interpret it as allusion to him floating around as a spark like you get in Possession. Roller is the IDW character from More Than Meets the Eye who disappeared in the distant past. Thrust is just Armada Thrust, and Breakdown is Transformers Prime Breakdown after being killed and turned into one of the zombies at the end of Season 3.
Isn't that so awesome?
There's no specifically clear origin for Cyclonus, but, you know, going by the colors, it's cartoon Cyclonus.
Yeah.
That is just, it just sort of boggles the mind that they could just think of this, and it's just...
The other thing, too, the name of the combiner, Grand Galvatron, in Headmasters, Galvatron's plan to turn himself into a Unicron-sized planet robot.
Yes!
That was
yes!
Grand Galvatron.
You're right, I forgot about that! That is so true. Holy crap.
I would actually tend to think that the Cyclonus is probably supposed to be from Headmasters after Galvatron gets killed there. Because, you know, it keeps
Japanese.
It in cartoon continuity, but has a lost Galvatron that they need to resurrect.
This makes my head hurt in a wonderful way. I love it.
Yes.
And the best thing is that Cyclonus deco is so pretty.
It's pretty. Yeah. The whole thing is pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird on how good it looks combined, because if you look at the individual figures, it would be like, there's no way this is going to pull together as a combined whole. And it does.
Oh, I love the way this looks.
The only one I didn't understand, which XP just explained, was Roller. I was thinking, is that like Prime's Roller that just like got... I mean, because whatever happened to that after G1, it just kind of disappeared.
That would be great too, though.
Well, okay, what do you now? Just can you explain that real quick on why that's Roller, or is that a different character?
Okay, so in More Than Meets the Eye, when they did the Shadow Play storyline early in the book's run, which went back to like pre-war Cybertron, they had Orion Pax, who was a cop, and Roller was his partner. Roller is just a big, tough dude.
Mm-hmm.
But subsequent to that, but before the modern era, Roller went missing in an explosion in a battle and has not been seen or heard from since, and may or may not have been, you know, kind of forgotten that he went missing because of story circumstances. Forgotten in within universe, I mean, not forgotten by the writing. So this is taking one possible outcome of this, that he literally disappeared and just kind of fell between dimensions. I think that's actually in the bio translation. And so he was filled with hopelessness and eventually became evil as a result, because Japanese storytelling, and that's one of their tropes.
Yeah.
So now that you brought it up, Don, I kind of like the idea of a G1 roller that spent so much time in trailer space that he got lonely and bitter and turned into a monster.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, that would be a great way to take this also.
Well, that'd also be very Japanese, of kind of a, you know, the...
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole point of this is that all these characters have some grudge, that they're, that's the basis of them being grabbed and turned into this.
And a couple of them even have the grudge against Galvatron, who they're trying to resurrect.
Or Unicron, who's doing the resurrecting.
Yeah.
I just have this picture of Optimus Prime being like, Roller, I need help, and the gate goes down, and Roller just keeps on going like, F you, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Well, Thrust has a new head.
Yes. Thrust and Starscream have the new heads for this set, which, I mean, it's all, any new parts are going to be existing pre-tool alternates. They didn't make any new parts specifically for this.
Okay.
My concern, too, is, like, the way Air Raid is laid out, the square top head that Air Raid has already fills the torso cavity completely. I cannot imagine how little this cone head is going to look having to fit in that same space.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess my point ultimately with this is, when this was announced, did we really expect anything but crap with this?
I didn't know what to expect at all.
No.
You know, I expected just the Cyclonus that we got slightly tweaked and just random molds repainted, obscure characters, but nothing...
I was kind of hoping for something equivalent to the club subscription set next year, where it's Cyclonus and some 87, 88 characters repainted off of these molds.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this is not a club set, because this will be easier and cheaper to get.
But the thing is, like, this is what a BotCon or club set really ought to be.
Yes.
Yes. This is like the things they try to do, except doing them correctly.
I'm really looking forward. Like, I'm not into the Ghost Starscream thing at all, because that seems weird to be part of a combiner anyway, and is like the least compelling part of the whole thing they have going here. But like, all the rest of it is really cool. I'm really looking forward to this.
I love the Ghost Starscream part of it, but yes, I am terrified that is going to break very easily.
I have no clear plastic Transformers that I can think of, and I don't have a Ghost Starscream, so I'm really happy to get a Ghost Starscream.
Did I miss a comment about this? And I don't want to offend anybody out there who might have this. But John just mentioned in the chat that this is a true Phantom Limb. Did somebody?
Yeah, that joke's been made.
Okay.
Ever since the reveal.
I don't stick around.
Point stands. That's why he's great.
Yeah, I don't stick around the message boards and the Twitters like I should, so I completely missed it. So it's new to me. But yeah, it's beautiful. I want it, and I have already pre-ordered it. Like, literally, for fear that for fear that this would sell out immediately, as soon as the email came, I was in a meeting, click on my phone, click, 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 pre-ordered.
Brian, what are you doing under the desk? Nothing?
Nothing. Matt, you're saying something. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was saying pretty much the same thing you were. As soon as that email came through, yeah, I pre-ordered this thing.
Yeah. So happy. Thank you, Takara. I will say that probably until I get it and don't like it. Okay. So let's see. What else we got going on?
Until Starscream crumbles.
Yeah. If you're one of the five people that missed out on MB20 Will Jack, he is going to be reissued. PSA.
I was surprised.
Really?
I was surprised he's being reissued, just because I was like, did anyone really have a hard time getting him?
Well, so Takara, I'm assuming, is basically doing this because, of course, Japanese retail, not American, you know, secondary market stuff. So, I mean, it's probably off the shelves somewhat in Japan, or maybe it's hit the secondary market primarily, and it's only available, you know, the price is gone. I don't know. They just saw an opportunity to reissue it. And they typically do reissue the general release stuff, so that's not too surprising.
The thing, too, is, like, the Datsun mold, they can get all kinds of reuse out of that investment. And in an interview, one of the designers specifically was saying, you know, we can make things like Wheeljack that only has one or two uses because we get so much mileage out of these others. So doing a rerun like this to get another round of people on this mold is kind of like a fill-in for another recolor they could do on this, which they, you know, there's nothing available for that.
And they already reissued Lambor, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Or not Lambor. What's it called?
Sideswipe.
Yeah, Lambor.
No, I'm sorry, not Lambor.
Exhaust?
I was trying to say Marlboro, not Lambor.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
They did reissue him, but and also possibly these MP20 reissues are exhausts that they just strip the paint on and put a new paint job on, like, oh, get them out.
Would they do that? They
no.
Yeah,
they,
I didn't think so.
They totally
They're
wouldn't.
They're different head, for one thing.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. But yeah, no, I meant Marlboro, the exhaust.
And I'm not even sure that was a proper reissue. I think it was just, well, here's all this back stock. Let's send it back out again and try to sell it this time.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember, Hasbro Asia was going to sell exhaust, and they canceled that release when the import problems started coming up. So there had to be a lot of extra quantity of that that was not going anywhere. That's probably what was the reissue in Japan.
Yeah, and so again, also, thank you, Eddie. Sorry. Every time I mention exhaust, I got to thank Eddie for sending me one. He is still the man. I don't even know if Eddie listens anymore. I haven't heard from Eddie in forever, so. But you're my hero. So moving along. Now, this one is a little weird, but maybe, I guess, not so much. Takara is going to be releasing official display stands for Transformers. They're going to run about $5 each, which I don't actually think is that bad. But if you wonder what we're talking about, we're not talking about, like, something from IKEA. We're talking about, like, the display stands that come with, like, figure arts and other... Sometimes Marvel might even do them. Like, the little transparent stands where you can do, like, action poses.
And tracks, if you have tracks. It's the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Hopefully these are designed with a bit better weight tolerance than the Tamashii stages, because those things break if you look at them.
Yeah, you get the wrong stage for the wrong figure, and it's just, you know.
You get the right stage for the right figure, and it doesn't last too long either. But
yeah.
Those things are fragile.
Yeah, I'm hoping Takara versions will be a little bit more robust.
And this is one of the reasons we're afraid for Ghost Starscream. Clear plastic, it, you know.
Now, let's be fair. Tamashii stages break far, far, far easier than any other clear plastic product I've ever handled. But it's a precedent.
Takara Micromen, actually. Early 2000s ones, they'd crumble like this. Just like that.
Is this one SKU, or are there multiple ones for different figures?
There's one type of stand, and they released a compatibility list showing what basically from the last like year and a half, 2 years of releases will actually fit it. And I translated that, and it is up on the post at tformers.com.
And go and look at that. Yeah. So it's basically going to be peg based. Is that what we're assuming? Or
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Rob. You can cover it.
Yeah. It's got a peg that can fit basically 3 millimeter or 5 millimeter screw holes in a given transformer, and the compatibility list is basically based on whether or not a mold has one available in a useful position in what mode. So
now Rob, are you going to be like Chris McFeely and go back all the way to the beginning of the line and find all the toys it's compatible with?
Oh, hell no. I just translate the PDF to carbon.
So, 3 millimeter ports have actually been molded into a lot of toys over the last 2 years. So a lot of that compatibility list it coincides with those toys.
I'm assuming that was done with this in mind, probably.
I think when they started doing it was probably done with the thought that, well, these stands are out there, everybody has one, let's just mold an extra hole and people who make the connection can get a little extra use out of this.
I wonder if they're doing one for Metroplex. Probably not.
It'll be in a box as tall as Metroplex.
Yeah, or taller. Hey, so Rob, I want to congratulate you, or thank you, looking at this. You called this the translated Cliff's Notes versions, and thank you for saying Cliff's Notes and not Cliff Notes.
Certainly.
You used it correctly. Okay. That's quality writing.
Rob is nothing if not detail-oriented.
Yeah, that's very true. And wow, so that's all the official news we have. So guess what? Thank you, Amazon. Right now, you know what? It's the holiday season's upon us, and hopefully everybody out there has Amazon Prime so they can take advantage of like the awesome free shipping. But you know what? If you don't, you can get a free 30-day trial by going to tfradio.net/prime. I just got a new TV, so I actually watch a lot of stuff on Amazon Prime Instant Streaming, which is included with the Amazon Prime subscription. So it's not just the shipping. You get the Instant Streaming. You can borrow books from the Kindle owner's lending library. Plus, Amazon Prime Instant Music, which is great. And like I said, free 30-day trial, tfradio.net/prime. tfradio.net/prime. And also, I'm a big fan of audible.com, which is Audible is the service that Amazon purchased a few years ago with all of the huge collection of audiobooks that they have available. I have hundreds of books in my library at this point. It's pretty much the way that I read books because I don't have a lot of time, so I listen to audiobooks on my commute. But Audible now has the complete Harry Potter collection. They just got that. They got that license. And new subscribers to Audible get a free audiobook. You can go to tfradio.net/audible to sign up. You get a free audiobook. It's yours to keep whether you stay with Audible or not. So I actually just bought The Sorcerer's Stone, and hopefully over the next couple weeks I will read or listen to that on my commute. So I will give you an update on how that went. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. You can buy stuff from Amazon. We tell you every week. It doesn't cost you a penny more, and it helps us pay for the show. Things like equipment. Because, we need equipment. Stuff breaks. And
we just sound terrible otherwise.
Yeah. And, of course, all the hosting fees, and there are more than you would think. So tfradio.net/Amazon to purchase stuff. tfradio.net/Audible to sign up. For Audible, and tfradio.net/prime to sign up for the 30-day free trial of Amazon Prime. And I've been a member of Amazon Prime since the day it started. And it's one of the best investments I've ever made.
Hey, Brian, just to add on to that real quick, I was looking at Amazon earlier, and I meant to mention this. If you're ordering from Amazon and you're looking for a little something to maybe boost you over the free shipping level, or you're just looking for a lot of small gifts for a bunch of friends, right now the Transformers Legends, not the car Legends, but the Legends class figures in the U.S. are on sale. Like a Legends class Rodimus is $6, Warpath is $6.75, Groove is $4.40, Tailgate is $7.81. So that way, if you want some of these smaller figures to either boost you over the shipping limit or just order a bunch of small figures to give out to the kids at Christmas.
That's a great idea.
Platinum Edition Trypticon is at
$109.99.
I'm sorry.
tfradio.net/Trypticon. I'm buying it now. Okay, so I will say this. I love what Don's saying right there. That makes perfect sense. But if you don't want to buy something extra, go to tfradio.net/prime and you actually get the free Amazon Prime trial, and you don't have to worry about the $25. You just get it.
It's been 35 for 2 years.
Okay. So it was like, well, you know, I have Prime, so I don't even pay attention to that anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Of
so here we go.
Wow, $102 for Trypticon. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's... I wish mine was. I wish I had a reason to buy one because he looks so nice with all the stickers and stuff. But
I bought it. I have it. Okay, it's on the way. tfradio.net/Trypticon.
Buy another one. It's cheap.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the Titan Glass one.
Let's somebody tweet that out real quick.
I'll do that. I've got Twitter up.
Well, I'm saying from the RFC account, not from.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'll do it right now. I'll do it right now.
Do it. This seems like a perfect job for John DeLuna. Honestly,
John is awesome.
This is like a job for. John DeLuna.
I don't know if he's here.
Yeah, okay, he's always here. Do it or not.
Oh, there he is.
I'll do it right now.
All
right.
John is always here, always listening, except when he's not.
Yeah. You already got, like, plenty of voices. I'll jump in as needed.
Yeah, like when we call out your name.
Oh, and also...
That doesn't hurt.
Right.
Just to add on to the Trypticon, if you want something equally awesome, they have the Platinum Edition G1 Predaking for $97.
Yeah, it's about the normal price that goes for it.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, because it said here the price was $119 originally.
I mean, that's been around for so long, they don't ever have it at full price anyway.
Oh, okay. But that is 20
Please
bucks.
Please take these from us.
Yeah.
Well, 20 bucks a piece for G1 Predacons?
Oh, no, it's a really good deal, especially when you, like, for us who've been around for a long time and remember, you know, $400, $500 to piece a Predaking together.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know? Encore Skylinks is 87 bucks.
That's not bad. Hmm.
What's that Platinum Triple Changer set at this week?
60.
Yeah.
Oh, that went back
up. I like that set. We'll talk a little bit about that set during the buying guide later on. Let's see here. So, thank you, Diecast. You're my hero. Let's see here. What else we got going on? Third-party news. Not a lot. Make Toys, Remaster 3 Hellfire, Remaster 4 Iron Will. What's MTCM? What is that? Whatever that stands for. Wait, why? Why can I click that?
Yeah, why is there no link here?
Yeah, I thought I had a link on that. Well, I can't click it.
Okay, I think that's it's. I think
that's their Protectobots. I think. Yeah.
So four would be first aid, and the other is blades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I saw. Oh, and also the grapple homage, was it Wrestle. Yeah, he is a Make Toys website exclusive. Apparently.
Really.
Yeah. Cool. I forwarded that all to y'all today.
Yeah, we saw it. I didn't realize it was a.
Yeah, it's a Make Toys website exclusive, which they look great. It's just I will probably wait and get the hopefully inevitable. Artfire repaint recolor of that, hopefully.
I would just wait for the official ones because those can't be that far off in the future. That's not even something they'd have to go to great lengths to license.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Get a lot of uses out of it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though.
Every online exclusive that Make Toys has ever done, except for one, has been widely available a few months later.
Yeah, the only one that wasn't was, what, Ripper?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was Ripper?
The Shattered Glass Strafe.
Why would anybody want that?
Because
it was limited, and it was actually kind of pretty.
It was, and also there was hints at the time they may eventually do a Shattered Glass Abominus, which would be the Technobots in Abominus colors.
So, there's already like 15 hardheads available, and we're going to get one for 15 bucks here like next year. But I still kind of want this remaster hardhead.
It looks nice.
It does.
And it's a completely different category of toy than the $15 one we'll have next year.
It is. And like I was complaining about the remaster Cupola because of the size. Because I still think he's way too big. But if I have other toys in that size scale to go along with him, I'm kind of happy with that. So... I might actually pick up all of these remaster figures. These may be my third party completest fix.
That won't last.
Nope, probably not.
I'll be honest. I love the way the Inferno looks. It's just
It's just
Inferno and Grapple are two of my figures that I like. I need new versions of. But they look great.
Yeah. He really does. It's like a lot of the third party stuff. It's like, oh, it's close, but it's kind of like that Uncanny Valley thing. It's like it doesn't look quite like I would want it to look. Inferno and Grapple both look fantastic. But yeah, now, so there's that. Yeah.
The only thing about Iron Wheel is I'm not sure why, but there's the purple on. Is that them showing where the diecast is at?
That's probably them just showing the location of the metal.
Okay, because I was going to say, because I hope that's not actually purple on the figure, because that would look really bad.
Let's see. I haven't looked at these pictures yet, but well, no. And if you look at the Inferno too, they've got some parts highlighted in green, which I think is for the same purpose.
Okay, I thought maybe that was like part of the ladder or the window or something. I didn't realize that. Okay, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, no, these are definitely just highlighted to show most likely the metal locations. Because, like, looking at that, yeah, you can see there's like a border around the purple parts too, which it would. I guess if it was clear plastic, it could end up having that effect if it was lit the right way, but this isn't lit that way. No, that's just, it's highlighting.
Okay.
I don't get this one. Transformission shows photos of an official Masterpiece scale Motor Master prototype.
They're the ones that had the Stunicon cards at the Chinese toy show a couple months ago.
IDW-styled Masterpiece Stunicons.
Okay, I really don't like Minasaur's head.
No.
I really don't like it.
I'm not a fan of those Stunicon designs.
But myself, I will say, I do kind of like the way the Motor Master looks in truck mode.
It looks like Motor Master in truck mode.
It's too similar to Optimus Prime for me.
And but I can't help but wonder. I can't help but wonder, too, if they are not building this up where they can do an Autobot version of these themselves.
I would have to probably buy that.
Oh, John.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they probably would actually make them the Masquerade characters.
They would make the Masquerade
characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, thanks, Chris.
Let's look forward to that, then.
Yeah.
At some point far, far down the road.
And I understand.
Probably later 2017. Depending how fast they get these out.
And it looks like the face pops off, just like the Masterpiece toys do that have the secondary faces. But to be honest with you, I would rather the entire head pop off of any figure instead of having to deal with the faces, because I hate having to try to pop the little face plate off of any
Yeah, face. I think that's just for ease of manufacturing.
Ease of manufacturing cost. Yeah.
Well, same thing, though.
Yeah. But, it doesn't work for me. But, you know, I'm not buying it, so it's not for me. So
I'm not buying it either.
And do we have anything else third party? Is that it?
Not really. There's pictures of Perfect Effects Bruticus upgrades, but, I mean, variations on a theme with all the other hand and foot sets.
We haven't even got our Perfect Effects Combiner Wars Devastator upgrades yet.
Yeah, that's shipping later this month.
Yeah. And there's not been an announcement as far as it being available yet, but also the the Fans Project Not Highbrow is supposed
Browning
to be
2, yeah.
Browning is supposed to be coming out this month.
But we have literally seen
there's not
nothing,
even a prototype
nothing
picture.
I know.
So I'm pretty sure that one's going to be pushed back a couple of months.
This is Make Toys? So it's a remaster?
No, Fans
Project.
Sorry. Oh.
Function X,
the
Function X line.
So, I'd rather have a remaster. The Function X is a little too small and simplistic.
I
not that the transformations are simplistic, but
at this point, I'm content to just wait for the Hasbro ones to happen.
Oh yeah, I don't disagree with you. I would rather have that too. Okay, so let's see here. So our holiday gift giving guide. So basically, this week I sent the guys an email. It's like, oh well, you know, we need to do the gift giving guide for 2015. Just basically what we would want ourselves if we were buying if we didn't already have them. So like our favorite things from the year. So I'm going to go over my selection and then Rob Springer's because he is not here. Funny enough, my number one item that I had on the list was Trypticon, because apparently, by all accounts, it's a very nice reproduction of the toy, and a lot of people don't have Trypticon. He's one of the G1 City Bots, or the large-scale figures that a lot of people didn't get. So I thought it's a perfect time, especially with who knows how long it's going to be available. Like, Predaking has been around forever. But he is one of the few Platinum Editions that has been readily available. So, Trypticon, while it's here, I would definitely pick that up. If you haven't already picked up Devastator, the Titan class Devastator. What's wrong with you? What kind of fan are you? No, I'm kidding. But it's a really nice toy, and it is. I think if you're buying for someone else who likes Transformers, it's a safe bet. And it's gigantic. Look at Don's right there. And it's good. It's very good.
It's
a good toy. I would go with the Hasbro version because it's readily available, and the Unite Warriors version won't be out until after Christmas, I guess.
Comes out Christmas Day.
Yeah, so yep. if you're buying for somebody, get them the Hasbro version. You can get it at Toys R Us. I saw a half dozen sitting on the shelf at Toys R Us, BBTS, or at tfradio.net/Devastator.
But yours will not come with the free Massey hair, so I am sorry about that.
Your video resolution's so low, I couldn't actually see the hair.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no. I've got, cat hair on my shirt, but it's not coming across. Oh, buddy. Let's see here. Not my favorite game, but people do seem to like Transformers Devastation. It's a little simplistic, but it looks G1. So for a lot of folks, that's good enough. And you might be able to find it on sale. It was on sale recently for, $40? You can get it for PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4. And surprisingly, some of the last-gen consoles, PS3 and Xbox 360, which is nice. I'm going to go ahead and skip this one, and I'll come back to it. Last year, I'm virtually certain I suggested that everyone pick up Transformers Legacy, which is the Jim Sorensen, Bill Forrester book that collects all of the most of the fantastic art from G1 and Transformers box art. It's a great book. It's huge. It's beautiful, and there's stuff in it that I'd never seen before. Up until that, and it is definitely worth picking up. And finally, for me, I was super pleased with Mastermind Creations, MMC's, reformatted Spartan figure, which is the IDW-style Impactor. I don't really have an attachment to the character so much, but it's such a nice toy. The build quality is really impressive, and it's a great resemblance. He is relatively inexpensive. What was retail? $80?
90?
For a third-party toy, especially considering the size and the mass of it, totally worth that. Rob Springer, I'm just going to go ahead and run through his. And it got deleted. Did I do that?
I don't know that you ever actually pasted it in. I never saw it.
I thought I pasted it in. Rob Springer's is... I know he made a joke in the email about how Don was going to put Carrie in there, and he totally did. spoiler. So Rob's list was Devastator. I put it in there, but I deleted it. Transformers Devastation, Trypticon, sounds just like mine. The Triple Changer pack, which was the Astrotrain and Blitzwing. In those
safety Astrotrain.
Yeah. In those really weird, funny, funky colors, which we still haven't got exact clarification on what the hell is going on. And whoever typed farts in here, that is exactly right. Rob would totally put farts down for Christmas. That's just what Rob would do. But again, that is I bought it. I don't love it. But I know some people really like the weird colors, and I only bought it because of the weird colors. I do want to point that out because I already had the toys. I didn't need them. So the fact that they came in that weird ass color scheme. Insecticons. I guess he's talking about the Platinum reissues.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know what else he would be talking about. That is, of course, for me, it's a little much, the price, because isn't retail on that like
$80?
Yeah, for what you get, I don't
really. That's way overpriced.
I don't.
Well, yeah.
Well, I did.
You could go on eBay and buy the originals for like $10 a piece, but.
And you could still do that. So right now on Amazon, it's $60.
$60. Yeah, I just looked it up. Yeah.
I really do love those toys. I really, really do. They're Diaclone toys, so they have the spots for the drivers. And I mean, I was always as a kid not knowing what the heck was going on. Like Kickback had that space in it. I'm like, oh, this is really neat. He's like a spaceship or something. And but that's totally a Brian.
He's a spaceship because he has a space in him.
Yes, that's
spaceship.
Exactly right. But I always love the Insecticons. $20 a piece is still a little steep to me, but that's because I already have them, like, in triplicate, probably. Well, but if I didn't, probably a better deal.
I did see a lot of – I saw several places with Black Friday sales on the Insecticon set. So maybe some store – maybe some online stores left them around that price. So, you know, you might – checking around, you might find a good deal.
Yeah, very possible. I don't know what Big Bad has it for. But it's probably in that $60 range if I had to guess. I'll actually check real quick. But yeah, the $60 price, $70, so $69.99. So right now it looks like Amazon's probably your best bet. And also, he said any Combiner Wars leader class toy, and yeah, I'll agree with that. Except for, you know, Thundercracker.
Okay, so let's refine that to any leader toy made for Combiner Wars.
Yeah.
That isn't a prior retool.
Yeah. So...
would you count, since we are getting the better Cyclonus in the Unite Warrior set...
He's not a leader class, Don.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking Voyager. I'm sorry.
But Ultra Magnus is a leader class, and he's fantastic.
Ultra Magnus is fantastic.
And Megatron is also very nice.
And Megatron, especially the Armada version, you can get really cheap, typically. Yeah. I bought it brand new on the shelf like a month after it came out at Walmart for $20. Yeah, $20. And he's nice. I like the G1 better, but the Armada version isn't too different, and you can probably get him cheap. But Ultra Magnus is so nice, I did buy the Takara version as well because I wanted that. And the Takara version comes with Alpha Trion.
I'm going to wait for the Power Master Prime to come out.
That looks so different that you bought Ultra Magnus, right, Don? Or did you skip it?
Yeah, I've got him. And he's sitting over on a shelf, just sitting there. But yeah, I wasn't going to buy him, but I got him cheap. So cheap changed my mind.
Yeah, he's nice. I love the look of Power Master Prime. But realistically, I would want both. And I'm getting both. Diecast, what about you?
I like the Make Toys Gundog, which is the not Masterpiece Hound, and also Grant Scourge, the X-Trans bots, whatever his name is. I can't even think of his name right now.
Stop stealing from my list, Diecast.
I'm not. It's a figure I don't have that everyone seems to enjoy, so yeah, I think I need to pick that up. And then the other one would be the upscaled KO MP10 because, you know, everything's better, bigger, so.
Usually. That's cool. So, Matt, what about you?
All right. I picked the Ocular Max Sphinx, the Not Mirage Masterpiece scale. It looks fantastic, I believe. Diecast has done a review of it.
I almost put that on mine, but I gave it crap. So much crap when I opened it and told Diecast that it was garbage. Until I came down to Earth and realized it's actually better than the official product right now. So it is really nice, and I almost put it on mine.
I also picked the Combiner Wars Combaticons, the entire wave. Yes, Vortex and Blastoff may be a bit of a disappointment, but you need them to make Bruticus. Masterpiece.
You get a Swindle, also.
Oh, yeah, a really good Swindle, too. Masterpiece Tracks, which we, you know, gave some trash to there recently, but if you're buying it as a gift, if someone were to give this to me as a gift and I didn't actually have to spend the money I spent on it, I would like it a lot more. it's a great gift to receive.
I agree.
Unite Warriors Defensor for your G1 Groove lovers, and X-Transbot Andrus. Yeah, X-Transbots Andras, the Not Scourge figure. Because I've seen a couple of reviews on it. Everybody gives it really favorable reviews, and it looks really, really nice.
Diecast, you picked that up, didn't you?
No, because I swore off X-Transbots, and it feels very weird.
I think you may have to reverse on that, Diecast, and get it and give us a report.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try.
Like, we're going to send you down as the canary diecast.
Like, with all their stuff, it looks nice, but I'm just afraid of it. But it does look nice, and it's Scourge, so.
Yeah. Bonus points just for being Scourge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very scared of it, too. But I haven't heard any major cryings about it, so.
Yeah. So Don, what did you select?
Okay. Well, a couple of things. First off, if you looking for something, the Takara version of Nightbird and Slipstream. I think the Slipstream is one of the best looking versions. Well, we haven't had that many versions of the character, but it looks great as this female Starscream kind of homage thing. And then Nightbird, of course, from the classic episode, using the RC mold. That's always nice. Gold Armor Grimlock, which is from the second, Robots in Disguise G2 or New Rid. I like the first Grimlock, but I like the Grimlock recolored just as much because it's a nice Grimlock homage and it's just a fun little figure. If you got someone that likes Transformers, but you don't know if they want like a whole set, Hotspot, which is the Combiner Wars Voyager class for Defensor. I'm saying if you get any of the Voyagers, just get Hotspot. Visually, he's very stunning. He looks good in pretty much both modes, especially robot mode. So, and then that person could figure if they want all of Defensor or not, they can complete it. But that's a great standalone figure with some options for later on. If it's someone that you want to get that you know is big into Transformers and you want to give them one big gift, the American version of Superion. Now, you can either do it with Alpha Bravo or if you can find a Quickslinger. But the first that's the best Superion we've ever gotten. It's a solid figure all the way around. And I think it personally looks better color-wise than some of the Unite War version. But as a set, as your one big ticket item, U.S. the version of Superion. And then for a third party, everyone's kidding me about this, but I recommend Carry, which is the DX9, not Rodimus Prime, because it's an all-in-one transformation. There's no parts forming. It looks great on the show. I think it looks great beside MP10. Because you have such a design aesthetic anyway in G1 with the two, it doesn't really matter if they don't match because they didn't match anyway because they were just the future of 2005 is your Flaming Winnebagoes. But Carrie, if you're going to go for one third party, it's a solid figure. It looks good. Cannot recommend Carrie enough.
Cool. Very cool. So, XV, what about you?
Okay, so I'm basically giving a blanket recommendation for the original stuff added to Transformers Adventure on top of all the imported Robots in Disguise stuff. Like, some examples are Roadblock from Generation Scoop, the Legends recolors like Runabout and Override, which are a little harder to get, Gregivore, which is the strong arm recolor based on Robots in Disguise Roll Bar. Also, if you can get the Frenzy and Rumble Scout 2-pack re-release, because those were really solid figures too, and hard to get in their original release because they never got released in the U.S.
I feel much better about buying the re-release, which I did, than the originals. And
yeah, because it was like half the price. But like, that's a few examples. A lot of the stuff you can get really cheap on Amazon, tfradio.net/Amazon. Like, almost U.S. price plus the shipping you would pay from a U.S. retailer, you can get the Japanese versions for. And there's a lot of interesting stuff that they added into that line. So, you know, it's commonly available stuff, but not stuff that other people might already have.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm marveling here at the Thunder Clash repro labels for Battlecore Optimus Prime.
Battlecore.
Yeah. I'm going to have to buy a second one of those for this.
It needs a new head, though.
It does.
Yeah.
He's pretty. Okay. Let's see, Rob, what about you?
Most of my stuff is fairly basic, but it's the stuff I've enjoyed the most this year. Devastation, I really did enjoy the game. It does a very narrow set of things, but it is very deep at that set of things. You can, if you like the combat itself, you can keep going with that forever. I have actually beaten it at the maximum difficulty and had a lot of fun with it. I still kind of want to go back and max out my various weapon types at some point, but that would be a lot of work, so I'm just kind of holding off on that for a while. In terms of combiners, my favorite thing this year overall, I think, was Defensor. Superion, while Silverbolt may probably make a slightly stronger torso than Hotspot, but in terms of a bulkier torso, Hotspot basically fixes all of the problems with Menasor. I think he's got the strongest limbs overall. Rook is just such a great toy. First Aid, again, fixes all of the problems with the off-road / Ironhide mold. And, you know, the helicopter mold's a known quantity, and Streetwise is not bad either. Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus, again, that's, I adore that because that's a toy that I never thought would exist, and I have it. It's great. And in terms of something a little bit, you know, cheaper, my favorite Legends of the Year is still Bombshell. It's very simple, it's very basic, but I just, you know, there's just something about that just makes it very satisfying to me. It's, you know, for a Legend Scout, that kind of figure, it does everything I really want it to do, and it is easy and pleasant to get from mode to mode, because, you know, I guess I'm getting cranky about transformations. I mean, a creative transformation is nice, but you're going to it's going to spend most of its time in one of two modes, so if you can have a dull but effective transformation get you between two very nice modes, I'm pretty satisfied with that, and Bombshell does that.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, let's see here. What else we got going on this week? On the network, oh god, you posted a lot of shows, Chris.
Only three?
So, let's see here. That one episode of Star Trek Explorers, which episode was that?
Sisko builds a boat.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
And grows a goatee.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, we decided this was the start of Sisko's midlife crisis.
And the start of the series getting good.
Yeah, he grows a goatee and builds a boat and goes sailing for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, he's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I like Explorers is legit one of my very favorite Deep Space Nine episodes, and we spent a lot of time talking about this and like digging into the not super obvious depth the episode has.
I need to go back and rewatch that one. I don't remember.
Season 3, episode 22.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it'd be season 3 because of the goatee.
Right.
Which is awesome. You can just say, yeah, the goatee is season 3. Okay, let's see here.
What is the last 4 episodes of season 3 has it just so they can transition to and being bald next year?
Yeah. So, let's see here. Superhero Time, episode 259. I don't understand what goes on in that show.
But the title of the episode is Beast King King.
I don't. Yeah. Not a typo. And the after show, the Unite Warriors Galvatronus special. So, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
So, I need to go back and listen to that one. Let's see here. RSC Minicast 37. John, what happened in episode 37?
Well, we solve the world's problems, so. And they all start and end with Transformers. So we talked about resurrecting dormant 80s properties via the Transformers line, and it's a good conversation, and everybody should listen to it.
And apparently, all my ideas are fan fiction. Apparently, so
yeah, it's okay, Don.
In the best possible way.
Everything we say.
Yeah. Let's see here. And Being Awesome, 37 with Rob Springer. Yeah, Rob talks about... I listened to it. It was a good episode. But I'm honestly trying to remember what it was about. He talks about Trypticon.
Jolanta.
Yeah, I don't honestly remember. But it was good. And Rob is... He runs a really interesting show. When I say interesting, I mean like it's engaging. He does a fantastic job.
Here's the thing, like not all of us here could carry a 30-minute show solo. Rob Springer can do that.
Absolutely.
And he does do that every week.
Every week. He does a great job. and he does a really fantastic job of engaging his audience. He has
exactly.
He has a highly engaged audience. It's really great. Let's see here. He actually wrote a note to me in the show description, so I will read it. This week in Awesome, Trypticon rises, looks left, and wins. Speaking of winners, a winner is you, if you go to Jolanta. Questions and Awesome is all about trading toys, no trouble. Kilby will not have any clue what any of this means on RFC, so you should listen. He's right. Yeah, great job, Rob. Love that. I really do enjoy it. So that's on the show. And Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, we've got some in-hand photos of both Make Toys Rear End and, of course, the Hurricane upgrade set for Cyclonus. Also, some photos of Planet X Vulcan, the new version of Fall of Cybertron Grimlock, which looked pretty nice. Hisashi Yuki is tormenting us with a Defensor made with all grooves. We've got information on which Combaticons come with which comics and the and shots of their extended bios from the comics. And I finally finished off Combiner Wars Wave 4 with Battlecore Optimus Prime and Optimus Maximus.
Very cool.
I guess the good thing about that, you could also call that United Wars Defensor. How Defensor got its grooves back.
I titled it the grooviest Defensor.
Yes. It's a good joke. It's a good joke. Oh, wow. So, yeah. So, on this episode of RSC, I did order a Platinum Trypticon. That's fantastic.
Good.
TFRadio.net/Trypticon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, fantastic. So, I accomplished something today.
Yes, you spent another $100.
But no. He saved over 60.
Thank
this
you.
Is true. This is true.
Don's a smart man.
Just, I mean he would have lost money not buying one. He had to get a Trypticon.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He would have spent more later on, so he's actually saving money by getting it now.
Yeah.
Rationalization, a collector's best friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, guys, I don't have anything else. Anybody got anything?
Oh, no, we wrung a whole lot out of this episode.
Yeah.
News items.
Hey, Brian, have we decided about the week of Christmas yet?
You know, actually...
Or is that still in the works?
Well, we haven't, so what do you guys want to do?
It's Wednesday.
I don't care either way. I have nothing going on.
So that's Wednesday the 23rd. I got nothing going on. I can totally be here.
Yeah, I got nothing going on.
Okay.
So it sounds like we have enough people for a show.
Yeah, and hey, I don't have to get up early the next day.
Yeah. I want to give an on-air thank you to Repro Labels because I had a big, huge order that was very important to me, and I submitted it over the Thanksgiving holiday, and they came through on short notice with a ton of stickers for something, and so I said thank you on Twitter, and I want to say thank you on the big show. So thank you, Repro Labels. You made me look good. So thank you.
Are you getting the Thunderclash set?
Yes, and thank you for that Thunderclash set for Battlecore Optimus Prime.
That is
I'm not getting that.
Really nice.
Well, now you know there's got to be some third party company seeing this set is going to be making a new head for that Optimus.
Actually, I didn't realize that the set was Repro Labels. It is. I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, because the website that I was looking at was like Toy Hacks or something. So
that's their new domain.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, they changed a couple months ago.
So, yeah, they've got some change management to work on. Okay. Or some branding.
I'm sure if you go to reprolabels.com, it'll forward you right to Toy Hacks.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, that's your problem.
That is my problem.
John likes you. Brian hates your ragged branding.
So
XV just thinks that the store should be thanking you for... You know, motivating people to buy Battlecore Optimus.
I am totally going to get this. It's only $16 too. Worth that.
I'm thinking $16 is a lot for stickers, but
well,
they're quality stickers.
Yeah, they're good quality.
They're fantastic stickers.
And you know, someone has to sit there and actually design all the art for those stickers from scratch. So,
and they're so good that Hasbro has worked with Aaron before.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, I usually don't sticker anything except maybe an Autobot symbol, or if it's like a necessary sticker, like headlights or something. But that is a really nice set. I mean, it's
so yeah. And I will say this: so the fact that it's been rebranded Toy Hacks does so much more. There's so much more that they can accomplish. I actually really like that.
Oh, you can even have the Wings of Honor. You can have the Wings of Honor Autobot symbol.
No, I'm good.
Or the G2 symbol for the shoulders.
Okay, so that'll do it for this week. Thank you guys for being here, and thank you for helping me stretch this out. Fantastic job. It's only slightly obvious. I'm certain we'll have even more news next week as we...
And if not, we'll make it up and we'll be awesome at it. So either way, the viewers win.
Yeah.
And make sure to look for my review of the upscaled MP10 because that's something you're going to want to check out.
Yeah.
And now since you said it, it's not going to get here.
It'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's at my local office.
And there will be reviews of Buzzsaw and Shockwave on T-Formers later this week and Chop Shop at some point thereafter.
And maybe I might try my first hand on a video review with Overload.
Well, sweet. That'd be awesome, Don. I can't wait to see that.
Fingers crossed.
It'll be a train wreck.
You know, it'll be a fun train wreck, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that'll do it. We will be back next week. See you later.
Bye, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?